We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bo Bishop going to be joining us here momentarily as Owen is still trying to get Bo Bishop up on the show.
I'll tell you, one of the things that obviously...
Oh, that was a good lead-in if he would have been there. That's all right.
That was awesome.
There we go. Now, go ahead, lineman, before we bring
Bo. One of the things that everybody's discussing in Buckeye Land and beyond right now is the fate of JT Barrett, but Urban Meyer and that staff have been quick to dismiss any rumors whatsoever they're going to make a change. So we go out to the Mercedes-Benz Bedford Hotline. We welcome in Bo Bishop. Bo, how bad would it have to get for them to replace a guy as decorated as a college football quarterback as JT Barrett?
Boy, buddy, I think one of the biggest differences in all of sports is the canyon between the impression and the feelings that the Ohio State coaches staff have on JT Barrett, and on the other side of that canyon, the feelings that the fans and even some of the future recruits and maybe even some of the players have about JT Barrett. Urban Meyer and his staff have complete confidence in him, as you saw yesterday, a defiant Urban Meyer, a simple answer of no, we will not consider removing him. This is a tricky spot. I mean, it is an absolutely tricky spot. And the funny thing about it going forward is that we're not going to know anything until Penn State, because they're going to run up wins and point totals over the next 4 weeks. And I guess to answer your question, what would cause him to be removed is if they stumble between now and Penn State, and I don't mean in terms of a loss, they're not going to lose between now and Penn State, but if they aren't sharp offensively for consecutive weeks against a lower bottom tier of their schedule, that's what it would take. But this is a tricky spot. This is a four-year starter. This is a guy Urban Meyer enabled as a redshirt sophomore when he felt obligated to start Cardale Jones, even though they weren't committed to running an offense that really served Cardale Jones best. And so he made JT Barrett a captain. Think about this. He made JT Barrett a captain as a sophomore on the 2015 team, and look at all the leadership on that 2015 team, and he made a backup quarterback a captain. That probably is the start of how we are here.
Bo Bishop joining us from the 11 Warriors Report. You can also hear him here Saturdays, 92.3 The Fan. I got to agree with you. I'm getting hammered on Twitter by some people, Bo, but I think he's their guy. Is that an admittance, though, of guilt for this coaching staff and how they're using him them if they can't blame JT Barrett?
Well, let's be honest. I think there's a lot to go around here, Kenny. I mean, it's certainly JT. JT, to me, I think I said it on your guys' show, and to me it's the perfect analogy. He's a high handicapper on the tee box who just will not swing the driver. He just sits there and waggles it for 35 seconds. He has no confidence in his arm. He has no confidence in what he sees. He doesn't grip it and rip it at all in the quarterback position. So let's start there. The second thing would be his offensive staff for now 3 years in a row, and now we're two games into this offensive staff, they just abandon the run. They just forget that it exists. They forget to go tempo. They forget to go all of the things that made them great in 2014. So that's the second part of blame to go around. And the third part of blame to go around is I'm not entirely sure that anybody's open. I don't know if they don't have anybody special at receiver or they haven't developed them, but there's nobody on this Ohio State offense outside of J.K. Dobbins who scares you, and that's a problem. So this is a three-pronged issue that they're going to have to deal with. Now, the good news is you believe that they have the talent to do it, and you believe that the schedule will allow for it, but there are some finite issues here that could come home to roost by the time you get to Penn State at the end of October. And this is about expectations, right? I mean, this Ohio State football is viewed the same way we view the Cavaliers. It's championship or bust, championship or disappointment. And they have eliminated their margin for error with this loss to Oklahoma. So they've got a lot of things that they got to fix offensively between now and when they play Penn State. And the blame is a lot to go around. And I'm fascinated. To me, guys, this is the most interesting thing that Urban Meyer has had had as a challenge since he's been the head coach at Ohio State. It's what's going on right now with this quarterback.
Bo Bishop joining us on the hotline. We've seen JT Barrett air it out and play well. It seems, though, that was a few years ago, and that's when he had guys like Michael Thomas and Devin Smith. He doesn't have those guys anymore, Bo. And we're talking about the deficiencies when it comes to weapons, but this is why you're supposed to feel confident having a fifth-year senior. This is why you bring a guy back and you say, look, it's your job, and we expect you to take us to the national championship. I'm just afraid that without those type of vertical deep threats, that they don't have an offense that's going to work for him outside of what we saw in the second half of that Michigan game where it was just go run and get us first downs, and then you're not going to win a championship doing that.
Well, look at the guy on the other side of the field on Saturday night, right? He didn't have D.D. Westbrook. He didn't have Samaje Perine. Joe Mixon. He's fine. He said, come on my back, boys. Come on my back. I'm going to throw for 380. I'm going to walk into the shoe. I'm going to be the best player on the field. I'm going to plant a flag at midfield. I'm going to walk out of your own in the place. That's what Baker Mayfield did. That's what they expected J.T. Barrett to be able to do this year, is put a team on his back along with the running backs. And it just hasn't happened. To your point, this is why it's so hard for me. To me, he just seems like a golfer who has the yips. You remember at Michigan State as a redshirt freshman when he lit him up? I mean, he was the best player on the field.
It's a huge performance,
In 2014 at Michigan State. He lit them up. He was fifth in the Heisman vote, guys.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, think about that. He was fifth. He finished fifth in the Heisman as a redshirt freshman. And now all of a sudden he can't throw the ball? Like, physically, he has it. I just think it's mentally. He will not grip it and rip it. He will not throw guys open. He will not take chances. It's probably he doesn't have confidence in the receivers. He doesn't have confidence in what he sees. He's second-guessing himself. This is an enormous issue. I mean, listen, we have never seen anything quite like this, where a guy has gotten demonstrably worse as his career has gone along. And there's a lot of blame to go around. It is the weapons. It's the coaching. He's on his third offensive coordinator in his career now. And his third quarterback coach, so that's a problem. It all adds up, but he has not been good enough to overcome that stuff. To your point, Lima, as a fifth year guy, 3-time captain, the only one in the history of the program, 2-time Big Ten Player of the Year, you should be able to put a program on your back and go play. I'm not saying they had to beat Oklahoma on Saturday night, but they can't look like that. And that is on him, and he does have to bear that responsibility.
Am I a filthy old dumb drunk to think that Army, mentioned, true, either way. Honestly, am I an idiot to think that Army can make them stumble a little bit because it's a service school, their talent is not that bad. Now, I know they're coming off just in 1-8-win season after just some, you know, not so good stuff, but those service schools, Bo, they play tough. You're coming off of a emotional loss here where it was a very frustrating night.
Well, I was there in 2014 in Baltimore when the Naval Academy put a real scare into Ohio State. Nobody wants to play these service academies because of the triple option that they play. Nobody runs that offense anymore. They're incredibly disciplined as they would be. I'm always conflicted when Ohio State plays them because, to me, like having been to Annapolis, I haven't been to West Point, but having been to Annapolis, to me, that's the most admirable thing you can do as a young man is to be good enough to get into one of those places and serve. And they're not going to beat Ohio State, and I don't know what the number is yet. I'm sure it's high, but I don't think Ohio State will cover because Army will bleed the clock. They will not create penalties. They will simply be a team that will run it and run it and run it in misdirection, and you've got to stay disciplined. And Ohio State, and we haven't talked about the defense. I mean, the defense has been just dreadful in the pass defense. So they'll get a chance to – they're not going to have to defend the pass against Army, but they're going to be challenged because of the misdirection, because all the things that Army does and the amount of discipline that Army has. So this isn't a fun game to come off of getting your butt whipped by Oklahoma.
And, oh, by the way, Ohio State right now dead last in college football. 130 teams are dead last against the pass. So I don't think that'll be a problem this week. If it is, it's time to fire everybody. Okay, Baker Mayfield had to go on the apology tour yesterday. And I'm telling you, Bo, I think I was at odds with you when this first happened because – I said, look, this is – I obviously knew about the tradition between Oklahoma and Texas with the flag and all of that. And you knew how psyched they were for this game. They had to be told for a year how they had no chance to go into Columbus, and they won. And to me, I think college football is better with that kind of emotion, that raw emotion that we saw on the field. I had no problem with it. I'm a Buckeye fan. It's up to us to stop them. We didn't stop them. Go celebrate, young man.
Yeah, you know, I initially tweeted after it that he would regret it. What I meant by he would regret it, not that it was necessarily a classless move, but that it would lead to just a crap storm of media attention, and that eventually he would have to apologize, which is what he did on Monday. In other words, that flag planting almost over, that became the story as opposed to how brilliant he was. So when I said he would regret it, that is what I meant. No, this is what makes college football beautiful. is him planting a flag in turf, by the way. So he wasn't very successful at it. But trying to plant the flag in turf, it's James Franklin saying, you know, Pitt beating us is the Super Bowl. For us, it's just like beating Akron. Like, that's why college football is great, is because you have that emotion every single Saturday in about a dozen games. And so, no, I've seen him do it at Oklahoma. And the funny thing about it was all just a misunderstanding, because obviously they thought Ohio State was being, you know, was slighting them a year ago when they sang Carmen, Ohio in the corner, something Ohio State does win or loss after every game. And now Ohio State fans were thinking Baker Mayfield was being disrespectful for planting a flag, something he does if they beat Texas. So, no, I don't have a problem with the act. What I meant by he would regret it is it would lead to this social media firestorm that he would eventually have to quell on Monday, and he did.
Bo Bishop joining us from the 11 Warriors Report, 92.3 The Fan on Saturdays. So moving forward, you take a look at what the Ohio State Buckeyes have to do. Is it a pipe dream now that they could get into the college football playoff, or is this still something that's doable when you do have to take on one of the top teams in college football here within about, what, a month or so against Penn State?
Well, it's not a pipe dream because we all remember 2014. Now, I don't know if this team's that special, but in 2014, they lost by a couple of scores at home to a Virginia Tech team that wasn't on the same level as this Oklahoma team. And they were sluggish for the couple of weeks that followed, and then they really got it rolling. The beautiful thing about this is their schedule allows – they only dropped to 8, and their schedule allows for them to get all the way back very quickly. I mean, you look at what the Big Ten has, and if this plays out and it holds to form, they're going to play a top-5 team in Penn State. They'll play a top-10 team in Michigan. They're going to have to play a top-10 team in Wisconsin should they win the Big Ten. There's everything on their schedule, plus it's, you know, Nebraska. So there's everything on their schedule that allow them to get back into this thing. What this loss did, though, Kenny, it eliminates the margin for error. You can't have another one. So in college football, and this is why it's so great and why I prefer it to the NFL, because every week counts. Like, if they have one more slip, it's done. And for Ohio State, the expectation is to win the national title. So if you're out of that race and you lose to Penn State at the end of October, then November's not going to be very interesting at all. So that's what the loss to Oklahoma does, is it eliminates the margin for error. There will have to be style points between now and Penn State. They're going to have to look like their dominant self. And those will be things that we'll be watching for. But this is a tricky spot for Urban with the JT Barrett thing, because I don't know if you've seen some of the social media with recruits tweeting Dwayne Haskins, who's this big arm kid that everybody that I talk to in Columbus just raves about his talent. And recruits are tweeting him, and I saw Haskins tweet over the weekend. Somebody said, when's my man Dwayne Haskins going to get to play number 2 player in the country, defensive lineman? And Haskins responded, soon. So he's stirring the pot a little bit.
How about Corey Smith? Corey Smith. Corey Smith did the same thing from Akron.
Yep. Yeah, there's a lot of this. So this is going to be a tricky thing for Urban to navigate between now and Penn State. And what they really need is for Barrett to look sharp. And that does fall back on JT. I mean, he's got to get his confidence back. And if he can't, they'll be forced to make a change. That's why I said, remember when we were previewing the season, that you want to talk about legacy for this kid. I don't know how you put it into perspective, because he owns every record that Ohio State has for quarterback. He's a 2-time Big Ten Player of the Year. He's a 3-time captain. And yet here we are 3 weeks into the season saying he ought to be benched. I mean, where else has that ever happened? That's a crazy thing to try and wrap your head around.
Well, it's Ohio State, and if you want to hold yourself at a lower standard, why don't you just go play for Pitt? I'm kidding.
That's right. Ask James Franklin, right? Yeah, wasn't that a great line? God, that was just ruthless.
Should I be upset about that because I went to Akron, Bo? Should I be mad?
No, of course not.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
No.
Well, you should be mad for other reasons that he went to Akron.
I don't think he's saying that. I don't even know. It wasn't even a shot at that. It was just like, it's another game. But I loved it, and that is what makes it so great each week and every Saturday, because you have that type of emotion on every single game.
Bo, thank you for the good times, buddy. All the best.
All right, boys. Be good.
The great Bo Bishop, courtesy Dos Equis, on the Mercedes-Benz Bedford Hotline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.